Good evening once again. Your partnership with God is evident through your love, your generosity and trust, and dedications to serving His ministry needs. We are deeply thankful to you for your support, and while words may not be enough, we will continue to be committed to be faithful following the Lord's will and pursuing the dreams He has placed in our heart. Thank you so much for this opportunity to speak before you. I will not preach long and go to theological details. Instead, my aim is to challenge your heart. May I invite everyone to please stand as we open our Bible in the book of Luke chapter 10, beginning verse number 25 up to verse number 23. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, "Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And he answering said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And he said unto him, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he joined, came and where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound out of his wood, pouring in oil and wine, and set on in his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out of 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Let's have a short prayer. Dear God, we humbly come before you, seeking your favor and blessing upon this message. We may your wisdom and knowledge and enrich this message. Lord, I pray that you help us and guide us to apply your word. Lord, you know my limitation. I pray that you be with us and be with me, O God, as we speak. Lord, this is my prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Probably one of the most known parable in the Bible is the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan is about a traveler who is beaten and left half dead, and later aided by Samaritan. Jesus told this parable in the response to a lawyer's questions, "And who is my neighbor?" This is related to a great commandment. The story of the Good Samaritan teaches a profound lesson on love, emphasizing the inseparable connection between loving God and loving others. That's why we will give you a message, a title, "Loving a Neighbor." Our text presents to us 4 key persons who are faced with the responsibility of love, and let us see how they responded to it. First in our list is the lawyer. As we meet this lawyer in verse number 25, we discover that for him, love is just a word to study rather than live experience. This lawyer who tested Jesus has sufficient knowledge of the Word of God, because when he was asked the question, he was able to recite one of the most significant teaching from the Old Testament from memory, but he did not know how to apply the truth. He just had the information without any application. He had never loved his neighbor, or he never knew who his neighbor was. You cannot love your neighbor without knowing who he is. So when he asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" he gave himself away. He demonstrated from the very beginning that he had information, but that information got never hold of his heart. We, as a Christian today, are most of the time like this lawyer. We knew the Word of God, but lack of practical application. Despite reciting key teaching, we fail to understand how to love our neighbor. If you have the same question at the back of your head, we lack understanding and application of the teaching, showing knowledge without heartfelt connection. The second person in this story were the thieves who robbed by the traveler. The thieves have no regard for this person. Love means nothing to them. In verse number 30, in our scripture, in Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. The action of the thieves highlights is a lack of compassion, love, and empathy. This lack of regard for a human life is a reflection of a broader societal problem in which people put their personal interests over the well-being of others. We, as a Christian, are sometimes no different from these thieves, either in the school, work, business, or whatever aspect of our life. We sometimes embody this theme, not in a literal sense, but through their action. As a servant of God, it is our responsibility to prioritize and develop the real meaning of empathy, compassion, and love in our lives. Let us reflect on our own action and be encouraged to strive toward creating a more harmonious and caring society where kindness and care prevail over indifference and cruelty. The third person that we will look into now are the priests and the Levites. Jesus was a great storyteller because the priests arrived alone by chance near the injured man on the road may seem coincidental in the story. However, the fundamental message tells a deliberate plan to demonstrate the impact of love. The priests avoided going near the wounded man because if the man was dead and he touched him, he would become a ceremonial unclean for 7 days, as it states in Numbers chapter 19, verse number 11. This would have prevented him from serving in the temple, which is a risk he was unwilling to take. He may have thought and said, I will leave the case to the Levite, his close following after me. But the Levites may have thought, since the priest passed by it, it might not be a good case to take. So he passed by also. So the priest did not help because of the Levite. Likewise, the Levite did not help because of the priest. Both of these men illustrate the fact that the religious work does not inherently make one truly religious. They may be a good people and involved in the serving of God, but they struggle to grasp the true essence of what serving God involves. We as a Christian sometimes reflect in a conflict between religious and obligation and the call to show compassion. We lack initiative and most of the time misses opportunity to demonstrate love and care. With this, we fail to grasp the essence of serving God, which goes beyond ceremonies. It includes genuine love and compassion for others. Let us be reminded that the religious work does not define true spirituality. And let us reflect on our motives and action and prioritize love and compassion in serving to others. You can be on your way to church and miss what God is telling you to do, the person who needs your love. The last person is the hero of the story. The Bible said in verse number 33, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he proceeded to take action to help the travelers in the following verse, in verse number 34. The Samaritan Jews are a nation that actually hate each other. The reason for the Jews hating the Samaritan, it's because they married the foreigners or Gentiles in their nation, birthing two half-breed Jews. The pure breed Jews deems them unclean, and there was so much hatred between them that each started their own religion and developed their own temple and worship and lived separately, having a different culture and nation. The Samaritan willingness to help, as seen in verse number 33, set a powerful example of selfless love. Despite of hatred and division, this person choose to prioritize humanity over bitterness. We as a Christian should be reminded of the transformative power of compassion and the capacity for individual to rise above prejudices. It called on us to imitate the hero example by showing kindness and empathy toward others, regardless of differences. From this parable, we are presented with a several aspects to love that stand out. Now, the question is, how to love our neighbor? First, display by compassion. Notice in verse number 33, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. All of the three persons who passed by the traveler look at him, the priests, the Levites, and the Samaritan. But only the Samaritan really saw him. The word compassion is more than passing interest. In the New Testament means deep moving within the inward spirit. Let's go back again. We will notice the Samaritan really saw him. Every time I study and read my notes in this message, God is always reminding me on John chapter 14. Lift up your eyes and look onto the field. They are white and ready to harvest. People are waiting. Millions of people are waiting. They are waiting for us. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 19, God commanded to individual, and he gave great commandments to the church, and he said, go and make a disciple. Matthew chapter 9, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the problem is the laborers are few. Now, the compassion, I always remember the Hudson Taylor and David Livingstone. But before I continue, look at Matthew chapter 9 at verse number 36. The Bible says, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Why they were fainted? Because they carried the heavy material load. But the load of sin, the load of pain, it is a sin that brought them problems. It is a sin that made them unhappy. When Jesus saw they are fainted, he was moved with compassion on them. And they were scattered abroad. Why they were scattered abroad? Because there is no one who will tie them together. Someone who will unite them. Someone who will instruct them. Someone who will lead them. When Jesus saw they are scattered abroad, he was moved with compassion on them. And there are sheep without a shepherd. He saw that they needed protection. He saw that they needed food. He saw that they needed shelter. He saw their destiny. When Jesus saw, he was moved with compassion on them. You remember the compassion of Hudson Taylor. He is a missionary from China. And David Livingstone, he is a missionary from Africa. When David Livingstone died, the African opened his chest and took his heart and buried in Africa, because the African said his heart belongs to the African. That is the compassion, beloved in the Lord. Many people are dying in every minute. Time is running short for us. Who will care for the lost? If they won't be spared, they will be in hell forever and forever. Philippines is 85% a Roman Catholic. In our country, we have a traditional belief. People are trying to imitate what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. They are hurting themselves, and they are literally nailed on the cross. Because they believe, and the Catholic teaches us, if you do and imitate what the Lord Jesus did on the cross, your sins will be forgiven. But the forgiveness of God is very simple. If you confess your sins sincerely, the Bible said he will faithful and just to forgive us all our sin. But many Filipinos, they are trying to imitate, because they are teaching us. They are always hurting themselves every year. And then we have a black Nazarene every second of the month of the year. We call it black Nazarene. That is the image. Many Filipinos, they're gathered in one place. Millions of Filipinos. They believe if you touch the black Nazarene or the image, any sickness do you have, you will be healed. People are blinded to the word of God. And it teaches us, Mary, he is a mediatrix. The Bible says there is only one mediator between God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Between God and man is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no other way to go to heaven. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Not her. So we need compassion. And I give you another one in Matthew chapter 14 at verse number 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion toward them and healed their sick. Matthew chapter 15. Then Jesus called his disciple unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting lest they in the way. Jesus' compassion toward the multitude was assessed in each circumstances based on the physical needs that you observe in their lives. Matthew chapter 9, he saw they fainted and they scattered abroad. Matthew chapter 14, he saw the sick that need to be healed. Matthew chapter 15, he saw the hungry that need to eat. Jesus was broken humanity and his heart moved with compassion. The Samaritan looked at the broken traveler through the eyes of Jesus, and he had compassion on him. Not only displayed by compassion, but the second is demonstrated by contact. See, in verse number 34, he went and ministered to the traveler, risking encountering the same thieves who would attack them. Love involved taking risks. Many people shield themselves from vulnerability, avoiding love, due to the associatrix, but there is no such thing as a genuine love without a risk. But for 14 years of attending the Catholic Church, nobody told me I am a sinner in the sight of God. There is one man came to our town and shared the gospel in our town. And then he invited me to read the Bible, but as I reading the Bible, I realized I am a great sinner in the sight of God. When he gave me an invitation about accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, without any hesitation, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal and Lord and Savior. Amen. And then my life began change. I'm always thinking, if this man not came to our town, maybe you will not see Pastor Ogie here preaching. And maybe you will not see some of the product of our ministry. Maybe no Samaritan's Heart or orphanage. Maybe no 13 churches. And we are planning to go back and to start a new work. And I'm very thankful for that. You know, that's the reason why I'm here. Because I'm forever grateful to those American missionaries who came to our land and left their conveniency in America. Because what they see and what they saw are souls without God. And because of the gospel that you brought to us, we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't lose your vision. Don't lose your... don't quit, don't stop. And we are the product of American missionary. And we are continue what you are being started in our land. We need to continue what you are being started in our land. We need to preach that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Amen. Thirdly, deliver with care. It's not enough that we have contact with our neighbor or even that we show compassion. We must go and step further and do something practical. The Samaritan cleansed the victim's wounds with wine and then soothed them with oil. He bound up the wounds so they could begin to heal. He took the man to an inn for further care and promised to return. The lawyer was willing to talk but unwilling to act. The Samaritan acted, risking his life to help. I am very grateful to all of you for continuing supporting our ministry. As I said a while ago, we started from around one church, and now we have 13 churches now. Amen. Not only planting churches, not only that, and also God put in our heart to put up an orphanage. Because one of our orphan, we live in the downtown for 6 months without food, without anything, without bed, without nothing. And then we saw him. And then I recognized him and I invited them to the church. And that is the starting of our orphanage. And now we have more than one orphans. And most of the orphans, they are involved in every ministry of the church. Some they playing guitar, some are song leading, and some are a member of the choir, and some they know how to play guitars in any ministry. And one of our orphan is now study at the Bible College and study to be a pastor. We send them to the school because their parents, they're involved in drug addiction, and some of them, they are in prison because of that activities. And then, no food. I provide a shelter for them. We send them to school, transportation, clothes, everything. We took care of all the orphanage. And we love to do that. And I just want to say, the support that you've given to me, I extended for all the pastors that you can see in my video presentation. Not only for his family, for every village churches, and for the workers and the orphanage. So we are very thankful because you did not stop to supporting our ministry in the Philippines. And that is the product of our, thank you so much for your love. And then fourthly, documented by cause. Helping others always come with a cause. The Samaritan gave his eyes to the traveler when he looked upon him with concern. He gave his heart to the traveler when he had compassion on him. He gave his beast to the traveler by leading it while walking. He gave his feet to the traveler as he willing to choose so to walk so that the injured traveler could ride. He gave his hand to the traveler when he bound up his wound and eased his hurt. He gave his time to the traveler when he postponed his own schedule for 2 days so that he can stay to the traveler and make sure that he was okay. He gave his money to the traveler when he paid for the traveler's stay at the inn. As you go back to this parable, you will see that Jesus is telling us that you love it, that when you love somebody, we gave yourself to them, your sacrifice, your time, your money, whatever you have, as Dr. J.H. Jowett had said, ministry that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. Love is costly. Now, I want to impact your life and give you 3 abiding lessons from this story that we can escape. Number one, the story teaches us that the secret of loving is not found on religion. You know when you go back, all the players in the story are religious. The lawyer, the priest, and the Levites. Even the thieves, for the Bible said, they left the man half dead. They did not want to have murder in their conscience, so they just beat him up so that he did not die while they were there. But after they have left, it was not so bad if the animal might have killed him while they have left and weakened their beating. So all of these religious people are dealing with the subject of how do we treat our neighbor? The answer is not found in religion. The second is the secret of loving is not in responsibility. People do not love because they ought to. The lawyer, when Jesus asked him, what does the law say? He knew the law, said, the love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and thy neighbor as thyself. He knew the truth. He knew that he was responsible to love his neighbor. There is very interesting contrast in the Bible in verse number 29. But it is very subtle things, but quite powerful. The scriptures say on verse number 29 that the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Now, Jesus asked a similar question after he had told the story, but he turned it around. Notice on verse number 36, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him? The focus is not on the recipient of love, but on the spirit of the one expressing love. It is not defining your neighbor that give you love, but experiencing love to become a neighbor. Jesus was saying to him, why are not you a neighbor? If you want to know who is your neighbor is, then just be one. Love is not just an obligation or duty. Love is not found in responsibility. So, if love is not a religion, not in responsibility, then where it is? It is a relationship, isn't it? Love is not found only in a relationship. And I want to read to you a wonderful passage in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 16. The Lord compared God's people to an unwanted child left in the open field by itself. And let's start on verse number 9. Then wash I thee with thee, with water, yea, I through wash away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. And I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin. And I girded thee about pine linen, and covered with thee with silk. I decked thee also with the ornaments, and put bracelets upon thy hand, and a chain on thy neck. And I put a jewel in thy forehead, and earring in thy ears, and a beautiful crown upon thy head. Thus was thy decking with gold and silver, and their raiment was fine of linen, and silk and broidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour, and honey, and oil, and thou wast exceeding beautiful, and thou didst prosper into the kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it is what perfect through my comeliness, which I had put upon thee, saith the Lord. God indeed made humanity his neighbor, seeing us robbed of our true nature, strife of heavenly ideas, wounded by sin and unable to rise. And Jesus Christ, God descended to where sinners were and through his death and resurrection. Cover our nakedness, bound in our woods with ointment from his broken heart. Place us in a safety, meeting our needs and promise to return for us. Jesus embodies the Good Samaritan, revealing that as a recipient of his love, we can extend that love to others. This love is not driven by religion or duty, by a personal relationship. That's the Bible says. We love others because he first loved us. When I understand how God loved me, I can learn how can I love even the most unlovely. The essence of this responsibility can be summarized. Do all you can, for all the people you can, in every way you can, in all the places you can, as long as you can, for Jesus' sake. This summarizes God's expectation for us as we express our love. Once again, thank you so much for your expressing your love. For your sacrifice, you will see a lot of Filipino accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. They are getting saved. We will continue to preach the gospel. And thank you so much. So I just want to say the purpose of our trip. We're leaving on July 9 because of the needs of the ministry. We are praying for 45,000 to meet our needs in our ministry there. So once again, God is not sleeping. God is not sleeping of what you are doing. Jesus said, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Anything you can do to help to people come to Christ will be rewarded by God. God will supply your needs. Thank you so much once again. The Bible says, God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Be steadfast. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know, our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Once again, thank you, preacher, for allowing us to share our ministry in the Philippines. Thank you. I hope that this simple message, they will become a blessing to everybody. May God bless you to everyone.
And as we bow in prayer, would you and our instrumentalists come to their piano and organ, might we just think about this, that of course a great message, and we thank God for that, and Brother Augie, thank him for delivering it to us, but I was thinking of this as he mentioned there. Had this man, the missionary, had not come to our town, wouldn't be a video tonight, or wouldn't be Brother Pastor Augie wouldn't be here either, because he's a product of a United States missionary. And I think what a blessing to see firsthand what the Lord has done. But he's not letting it end with him, because as you saw in the videos, there's countless people that have come through the ministry. And just, it's not that we do it because we want recognition. Of course, God gets all the glory, and we don't do it for those reasons. But I want to be in on what God is doing around the world. I really do want to reach the world. And that we need people like him to help us do it there, because we aren't there. We need to reach it here and need people like him and all around the world. And I'm thanking the Lord. But as we're praying and thinking about this, might you just spend a little time there praying for his ministry, praying that the Lord would protect him, praying that the Lord would provide the funds for him, for this next church plant, this next couple, and for the ministry's sake. Pray for his family. Pray for the work while he's away, that God would protect in all of that. And I'm going to ask the instrumentalists, if you just play through, and as they play, let's pray for him. Pray right now as a great army that we would see God just put his great hand of blessing, continue to keep, I should say, his hand of blessing upon this minister and his ministry. That the Lord would supply this $45,000. Lord would protect him as he travels around, getting back home safe, and his daughter as she continues in school here in Marietta. Provide for all the funds for that. Just guide, lead, direct. May his heart take comfort that this group of people right here is praying behind him, asking the Lord for strength for our good brother and his wife, his family. As they continue to play, if you're here tonight, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, he spoke much about that, the Lord Jesus Christ and what Christ did. And you're here this evening, not sure that heaven's your home, my friend, would you please take this invitation from me to your heart? You need to come to Jesus Christ. If you'd like help with that, you'd like somebody to take the Bible and show you how to be sure heaven's your home, then please step out and come. Right down here to the front, me or Brother Daniel, Brother Kyle, one of us, be glad to take the scriptures and show you. If you're a lady, we'd just have a lady take her time and show you. If a man would do the same, have a man take a time to show you. Let's not leave this place, but what we do, what God leads us to do. If you're able, stand with us together. Brother Daniel coming. He'll be here at the front if you need somebody to pray. Thank you so much. You may look this way. I'm going to ask Brother Kyle. He's going to dismiss us in prayer. But as he dismisses in prayer, to the lobby, and hope you'll get by and introduce them. They're such a kind family. We're grateful to have them here as part of our ministry at Buffalo Ridge. And I want you to support them in that. And Brother Kyle's going to pray. And as he prays, I want him to do it because it reminds us to pray all week long that for Thursday evening, those young people meet over here at the airport and they'll take off. And for you parents that are glad to get your teenagers away, look at this guy. Look at this saint of a man. He's taking all your kids and taking care of them. So he's got some help, though. And we want to be thanking Brother Kyle. Tell us who all is going with you as far as adults.
We got the Radfords going with us. We've got Miss Annie going with us, ESTEP. And let's see here. Miss Bear is going with us as well. And I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody. Who else am I forgetting? The Barkers. I didn't mention them yet, did I? Did anybody else that I didn't mention? Well, yes, my wife, my wonderful wife, Becca. Of course. Yes, and Becca Nash as well. Thank you, yes. Amen. That's everybody.
Pray for
us. We'll pray, and we'll be ready to go. Lord, we do thank you for your love for us. And Lord, thank you that you died for us. And Lord, I pray that as we go through this week, Lord, that we would spread that love to the people around us. And Lord, I pray as the teenagers and all the help that we do have going, Lord, that you would just bless our trip. And Lord, allow us to show that love to the people around us, even on this trip, Lord. And Lord, that you would just watch over us, protect us, keep us safe. And we pray all this in your name. Amen. Thank you.